Hello, everybody. We are the Mel and Ellen Show. We want to welcome you to the Mel and Ellen Show today, this pretty nice afternoon in California, and I imagine it's delightful in Florida, where Ellen is. How's the weather there?
82 degrees.
Yeah, good.
82 and gorgeous and clear skies and a little bit of breeze and no humidity for right now. So it's
That's sweet.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. We really want to welcome you today. We've been doing a series, Melanie Thomas and Ellen Doreen. We are intuitives and psychics, and we've been doing a series a little more pragmatically, beginning with the first of the year. We started, I believe, on January 1st, New Year's Day. Our show was about resolutions. We all make them. We all break them. We make them, we break them. Some of them we manage to keep. The second show we did on the 15th was about setting goals, short-term, long-term. And today we decided to carry that theme right on through to resistance. We all have it. We all resist doing doing what we want to do, doing what we need to do. I think it's a very normal human trait, and we want to talk today about what your resistances are, what our resistances are, how we can work to overcome our resistances, creating more positive habits. One of the things that struck me very interestingly as I was thinking about the show today and thinking about resistance is that I didn't really think of until a little while ago resistance as being a power. And when I saw it that way, it made me think that, well, if resistance is a power, which obviously it is, we think about resistances in the form of, you know, like the Minutemen in the early beginnings of our country. That was a resistance movement. Certainly. And so there is a resistance to power, but I didn't really think of resistance as a power. And that gave me a kind of a different perspective, because that's a power or a concept that seems like, so I can use that power to work with me rather than against me. So I've been working on my resistances since the beginning of the year. I think we all have. How are you doing with your resistances, my dear friend?
Poorly. Very poorly.
I was about to make a very similar confession. How are you doing with your resolutions? Well, you know, I'm not even sure. I haven't even got, you know, we talked about in the goal setting segment a couple of weeks ago. We come to you every other week on Tuesday afternoons, and a couple of weeks ago we were talking about goal setting, and I hadn't gotten through to setting up my business plan, as Ellen pointed out to me, for the coming year. And guess what? I still haven't.
No, swinging by the seat of my pants.
Maybe that's part of just, you know, I don't know if it's part of aging, which I guess it could be, really, but I wonder if it's just part of, you know, talk about trying to overcome the resistances that we have, that when we're just, and set new habits, create new behaviors, requires energy. And employing that power. And boy, life is just seems so overwhelming at times. It is like that joke that the earth seems to be hurtling through space faster and faster, and time keeps, you know, moving faster and faster. And I think it's really hard to find the space and the energy to make a commitment, which I think is the easiest part, to make a plan, to change a behavior, and then finding the energy and to really, really stick with it. I don't think that's so easy these days.
I don't think it's easy, but Well, and I'm not sure it's always necessary. I think that sometimes, first of all, I'm going to go back here when we were talking about business plans, because it does make me laugh.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it does. And the thing I want to say to that is, and I don't think we're unusual in this, because we've always talked about everybody is gifted as we are, some more, some less. And we are in a different category because we have learned our skill, and I think we think differently. We're sort of tied to the union, to the universe differently. But I think because we are both intuitive, we intuit what we need to do, where we need to go, those things. I mean, I can carry stuff in my head for days and move. This is what I didn't get done today. This is what I need to do tomorrow. And I will get up tomorrow and do what I didn't do Monday. It didn't get finished. And so I don't always write a business plan down. And I know that you're supposed to, because writing is part of the connecting to your brain. And it is always good. In fact, when I said I did that with the Rainbow Scent and Silly Songs and Sweet Lullabies, it did open doorways that I didn't see. And so it was a valuable exercise. But I was nudged by spirit to do that exercise.
Right.
And so I'm going to put that one on a back burner and we'll revisit it. But I truly think that a lot of times we are in a different thinking process. And so we intuit, we know where we need to go and how we need to get there and what we need to do. And when we don't, spirit gives us the opportunity to write down what we're doing and work our way through it that way. And I don't mean to sound like we're different or haughty or above people. It's just that we march to a different drummer, and that is part of that lifestyle for us.
I like what you said, putting it on the back burner and letting it simmer, which I think is a really good idea. And I'm with you. I think a lot of people use their intuition in a similar way. They may not be as aware of it as you and I are because of what we do, but I think that, you know, it's still going on.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes. People are intuitive. People use their gut a lot. And those people who acknowledge that probably don't write as many things down as people who don't.
True.
Just because you know where you're going. And resistance, I'm sort of sitting here laughing about that. But I think the resistance to change, and you're right, the world is moving faster and faster and faster and faster. And that is also attributed to age, where when you're 6 years old waiting for next Christmas to come, it's 150,000 years away. When you're 62 years old and have 15 grandchildren to buy for it tomorrow, you know, it's like,
right.
It's a whole different perspective. I find, I love what you said about resistance being a power, but I also find that when people, what am I trying to say to you? It's when somebody suggests to you, or society suggests to you, that you need to make this change, that you're being resistant to lose weight, quit smoking, I'm trying to think, wear different shoes, whatever that is. The resistance is because, not always because we don't want to make the change as much as it's not good for us or it doesn't need to be done. Quit smoking notwithstanding. I understand that there's health issues. But let me go with that. My father was 79, 80 years old. And they said, oh, well, you need to quit smoking. And I'm going, why? I mean, so he's going to what, live to 90?
Right.
You know, and his life is going to be miserable because he smoked all his life and very much enjoyed it. And yes, he did develop some health issues. He was going to develop health issues anyway.
Great point.
So in that case, why not just leave the man alone?
I think there's really something to be said for that. And recognizing that is is, I think, of great value, because I totally agree with you. If you're 80 years old, you know, why then? My same as with my mom, you know, when she developed some health problems and, you know, someone suggested she quit smoking. Her health problems, by the way, were unrelated to her smoking, but I said the same thing. Why? And it would never work anyway. It would just create more grief for her.
And that was it with my father. Because they said quitting smoking at this point could be such an arduous task for him and cause him more stress than the stress on his body from smoking.
Right.
And my point, this is very convoluted, and I'm sorry to go around this way, but my point is that sometimes we're resistant to the change because it's being foisted on us rather than being our choice.
Right. Kind of going back to the power thing again.
That's it. In that case, the power would be being foisted on you.
Right.
And I think that sometimes, I can tell you, this is very fun. My very dear friend has all of a sudden decided to be a vegetarian. And I honor and respect her desire to do that because she read an article about how the animals were treated. And that's fine for her. I am concerned for her because she has health issues. And you need to be very clear about what you're doing when you're doing it. And so my resistance for her is I'm worried about her health, and so I'm trying to give her information and trying to possibly change her mind so that she doesn't do it. And she is resistant to me because this is what she wants to do. And see, that's a perfect layout. I have no right to foist my... I've made my statement, I'm worried about your health, you need to be careful about what you're doing, but I need to shut up. And because if that's what she wants to do, I have no right to infringe, to put my desires on her so that she'll
right.
continue to eat me. Yes.
That's a really, really great, great perspective, because I think we do, especially when, you know, the more we love and care for somebody, of course, the more we want to tell them what to do when we think that something that they're doing isn't good for them. And I agree. I backing off, I think, is because we're people of free choice. It's not going to help. And it can end up being really, really disruptive to the relationship. You know, we know that.
Yeah, sure.
So I applaud that.
So what are you resisting this year, Mel?
What am I resisting?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. Hey, folks out there, what are you resisting? Watch this segue. You can call in toll-free at 888-627-6008 and share with us what you're resisting. We'd love to hear from you. I thought I would just avoid the answer to that by going right to let's have everybody call in and plus if you have a question for us, we'd love to hear from you too. It's a great question, and I think that I'm sitting here trying to really look at what I'm resisting, and I don't some things are coming up for me. I mean, you know, like one of the first things that popped in my head is that I'm resisting starting my spring cleaning and going through the closets and the drawers, but I'm not. It's just not time for it. I'm resisting getting more into exercise as I would like, but I'm really not. I'm doing okay. So I'm not sure that I have any overt resistance going on, which kind of makes me nervous because I'm going to be diving a little bit deeper to find out what's underneath that. Because I, although I could turn it around another way, and because something just popped up for me, I am resisting. I don't know exactly. I'm resisting spending more money than I want to, not should, have to, or got to. I'm resisting spending more money than I want to at the grocery store. That's one place. I look at the things that I have to do. I just had to order tapes, and I'm looking at a new credit card provider and all that sort of thing. I'm resisting doing even that because I'm resisting letting go of my cash. Now, that is one thing that I'm really conscious of. And I haven't really dived underneath it to see exactly what's there. Part of it, I feel, has to do again with the aging process and realizing that I don't have $2.5 million in the bank that I need for retirement that I am told
oh,
I need
really?
To have.
Hey, join the club.
Exactly. But that is one thing that I am resisting. I'm resisting letting go of my cash. Now, having said that, we made a Costco trip yesterday, and I didn't seem to have much resistance as I was flying through the store, filling up the basket.
I think sometimes, when I'm listening to you, I think sometimes the resistance isn't letting go of the cash. I'm hearing that, and that would be the truth on the surface. But when you talk about making these changes, like changing your credit card supplier or server, man, by the time you go through the paperwork and the pages and pages of I agree, disagree, the loopholes, the idiot clauses and all of this stuff, sometimes the resistance is just to the, oh my God, I can't do this again. And the same would be true with groceries.
Mm.
You're used to buying the same thing a lot. I mean, you need the basics. And then, well, this one's on sale, and should I get this? And before you know it, you've got yourself in a stew pot. We're still simmering on the back burner here. And you don't want to let go of what you know because it's just easier.
True.
And so the resistance is not to actually making the outlay as much as it's going through the hassle of doing the change.
That's a really, really good point. And that goes back again to that, to, you know, the behavior parts. You know, I'm looking at the rewards for those different things. I mean, yeah, finally I think I let myself get down to like 4 or 5 tapes, and that's like, I've never done that. And fortunately, I think the order will be here in time, so I'm not going to run out. That's a reward in itself for getting that little task done. I'm so with you about the contracts. I mean, I got one contract from one provider, and they approved, you know, da da da. I got you've been approved. So, you know, we need you to electronically sign this and do that and da 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 da. And I'm looking at it, and I emailed them back and said, no can do. It's going to take me quite a while to read this thing.
They expect you not to.
Well, yeah, for sure. But, yeah. I mean, and I haven't done it. There you go. I don't want to. You're right. You're totally spot on, because I don't want to go through this humongous contract
again
just to
because
do that.
It's not like we haven't done it before. I mean, you already did this once to have the server that you have, you know, and so it's like every 6 months you find yourself having to change something,
right?
Because they've changed. And I love that part. They've changed their contract because they can. But
right.
If you try to get out of it, anyway, we're going on a side road here.
Yeah, but it's true. So the rewards for that, I mean, I do continue to look around and till I find that one. But it's the one that I'm comfortable with and I think is going to work for me. And the reward will be when I get on the other side of it, you know.
But I don't think the resistance is actually to putting out the money as much as it is just the tremendous effort it's going to take to find the right place to be.
It's true. That's true. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. If it's, what is it? I just was reading that, and boy, I'm a little slow today. I apologize for that. If it's mainstream, it's not on BBS. Ellen Doreen and Melanie Thomas, we are both intuitives that do this for a living. Ellen has Illuminations in Florida, and I have Insights in California. And we would be delighted to have you call in toll-free at 888-627-6008 with any question that you might have that we may be able to answer for you. I like the system of rewards because I really feel that if you're working to create some kind of new behavior, it helps to have rewards. I mean, it's funny that, you know, we train animals with rewards, but we don't sometimes think about using that same sort of technique on ourselves. But we do it.
Any smart mother will tell you that she gives rewards for potty training.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time since I've been there, but yeah, you're right.
Me too, but I was just thinking about that because we had our little granddaughter here, and I mean, she's long since potty trained, but we were being told how that event happened, and yeah, you got rewards, you know, because you did a good job. So, yeah, it's funny.
What would be your resistance for this year, my dear? What are you resisting this year?
Jeez.
Yeah, not so easy, huh?
I'm trying to frame the words because my resistance is sort of like a backwards. It's a backwards resistance, and I'm not sure how to word it. I have spent a great deal of time being very stand back and letting people take their head. Down here in Florida, there's a lot of people who don't really particularly care for what I do, and I certainly understand that, and I certainly don't push my views on people who don't want to have anything to do with it. But I am out and about. I'm in chambers. I'm in Leeds clubs. That's how I market myself, and I'm not so likely to let people slide anymore. And that, I think that's where, and I'm not sure, it's a resistance to myself, because I have resisted all of my adult life to push people, or to, you know, to say, well, why don't you just try thinking outside the box, or if someone's doing something for me and doesn't do it in a timely manner, I go, oh, well, they're busy, and I let things slide. And what I'm finding this year is I have very little patience for it. And I don't mean that to sound in a crabby way, but I had a client the other day who this happens every so often. I start every reading by saying, I'll do a little 15-minute reading with you, check in, check up. If we don't make a good connection, say so. And, you know, we'll just call it a day, you know, because that happens. It doesn't happen often. I think it happened three times in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But this lady and I didn't do well. And I had some resistance to her when I first saw her. And instead of calling it a day, I let her push me. And I walked away from it feeling very, very badly because it was not good for her and it was not good for me. And so it's kind of a double negative. I needed to stand firm and say, this isn't working. And I didn't. And the upshot of it was neither one of us walked away from it happy. And then I was at a local social affair. And I was introduced. And the two people I was introduced to then began to whisper behind their hands about me. And when I went over to speak with them, one of them walked away. And I thought, you know, I'm really done with this. And that, you know, and so I'm sort of double negative. I'm resisting my resistance to stand up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So, and I'm not sure what path that's taking me down, but I feel better about it because I'm actually beginning to say, I really need to have an end date from you. If you're doing this project for me, I really need to hear from you. Or if I'm, you know, let's do a quick reading and see where we stand. And, or people who come up to me out of the blue in a social situation and put their hand out and say, so what do you see? You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm just beginning to get grown up. And I don't want to say that makes sense. It makes sense to me. And the difficult part with that is it makes me uncomfortable with myself because I feel like I'm being crabby and nasty and mean. And I don't want to be.
Right.
So, and I don't know yet how it feels to wear that coat, so to speak. But, but people around me don't seem to have any trouble with it. In fact, I had three people come up to me today and say, you know what I love about you so much? I know that your work is kind of, you know, out there, but you are such a grounded and centered and well-balanced businesswoman as well, and we really respect that in you. So I don't know, you know, here I am. I don't know whether my new tact has moved me into a different space. So, yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's my resistance.
Do you know you touched on something that when you were telling that story that struck me in terms of the show's about resistance and I'm sure I know you we all have clients that that are resistant to what we do, resistant to the process, and maybe a little, it may be a lot. Just like there are clients who are, you know, in the groove, so to speak, and
yeah,
very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
And I find, as I'm sure you do, and that's that in the process of reading for them, coaching them, guiding them, that it overcomes that resistance. And I think it is rooted in what you said. So many people have an attitude about what we do that isn't founded in a truth, because they're so resistant to it, they would never go there. So they you know, they don't know, they're not going to know.
You don't have to be rude. That's my point.
You know, right, that's human nature. You know,
that's where I'm drawing the line. But I'm not where 2 years ago I would have been more open to letting it slide. That's what I'm saying. I would have just said, "Oh well, people are what they are," and da 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 da. I'm not there any. I don't know what's happened, but all of a sudden, it's like spirit has said, "Here, get a backbone."
Right.
I don't mean it. But stand up. You don't have to. If people are doing work for you and they're not doing it in a timely manner, you have the right, in fact, to stand up and say, "Gee, you know, let's get this done. You said this, so let's finish it." And this is funny because I was at a chamber function earlier today and I ran into a gentleman, had a lovely conversation with him, and he was also an intuitive, which is, you know,
wow,
very interesting. And I did a little palm reading and whatever, and he very much appreciated it. And as he was getting ready to leave, he said to me, he said, "The message for you is you're not taking care of yourself," which made me laugh. And he said, "The second message for you is you let people slide. You don't tell people when they're a bad egg and get them out of the mix. You just let them slide. And he said, the message for you is you need to pay attention to the bad eggs. And I thought that was so astonishing, because that was just what I've been thinking from the beginning of the year. I let people slide. I don't stand up and say, you need to make good on what you promised.
Wow. How fascinating that. What a great exchange.
It was. And he was, and I mean, he was a guest. He wasn't, and he was a guest for a different business, but because I said, you know, I always stand up and say I'm a certified professional psychic medium. He came over to speak with me, and we had this wonderful conversation about spirit and where we're going. And he nailed it right off the bat. And very few besides yourself now can nail me like that. And
yeah.
It was real way. I went, okay, this is very fun. So.
Do you find that you have people who how do you I want to say, how do you overcome the resistance of, you know, saying to someone who wants to do what you do, believes they who everybody's intuitive.
Yes.
Who may or may not have real ability, but who believes they do, and they may not have had enough practice. They may not be, you know. And then I guess it is a form of practicing. But when they, you know, tell you something that like that, like he did with you, and you know that. It's not, you know, it's not resonating. Now, is it not resonating? Because now I'm thinking about myself. This has happened to me a couple times recently. Am I resistant? Am I not resonating because I'm resisting? Because I don't want somebody walking up and telling me that. Am I not resonating and resisting it because it just, you know, it's so far off base that I'm resisting saying you're so far off base, you have no idea how far off base you are. I mean, how do you handle those things? Do you have that come up for you?
Oh, yeah. And that's a beautiful question, because two things happen here. The gentleman I was speaking to today, and I, by just intuitive agreement, had allowed each of us to participate in the other one's spirit.
Right.
And he put his hand out to me, and I took it. It was an agreement that we were sharing information, and that because I acknowledged that he was an intuitive and that he was powerful and that he didn't use it as a daily thing, but certainly was accurate. That was part of what I said to him. We had acknowledged each other and said that, and in unspoken words said that we would share information. And what he said to me, I didn't like hearing. There was nothing about that that I thought was, you know, you're not taking care of yourself. He's absolutely 100% right. I have let things slide that I shouldn't have, and I am in the process of taking care of them now. But, and I do let people slide. This is what I was just talking about. I let people slide. I don't demand that they do what they said they're going to do. I let dates go and all this stuff. And he didn't even know. He said, you might end up with a bad egg. And instead of saying, oh, it's just, you know, they're just not performing, get rid of the bad egg, because this is a message for you. So we had a contract. That's what I'm looking for. We had a contract with each other by intuition. Now, I have had people, happens to me a lot, come up to me and they think that they're intuitive, or they want to be part of the in-group. And so they start blabbing stuff to me. And I've come up with two ways to handle it. One of the ways is I just look at them and kind of laugh it off and go, you know, I don't think this is an appropriate time for us to be discussing this, because usually it's in a crowd of people and whatever. And I'm very quiet about it, but as an intuitive, we don't usually share information in a public place.
Right.
You know, and I say that to them, and it stops them. And other times I just look at them and go, gee, I'm not really understanding what you're saying to me. And so maybe we should talk about this at another time. But I try to, and I try to be nice because you don't want to hurt people's feelings. But they know. When you know, Mark and I've been married 20 years, and when we went to one of the chamber things where I got to do a 10-minute presentation about who I am and what I do, and it was very fun. And when I finished, one of the people in the chamber turned to Mark and said, so how does it feel to be married to an intuitive for 20 years? And he stood there for a minute, and he thought about it, and he says, well, it's been quite a ride. And, you know, and he said, you know, she thinks differently. It's a wonderful way to live when you let spirit guide you. And then he turned to me, and he turned back to the people, and he said, the main thing is I can never lie to her.
Oh.
And there was kind of this silence. And the thing that makes me laugh the hardest now is that people know I'm an intuitive, and they'll stand in front of me and lie to my face. Not badly, but, you know, something.
Right.
And I'll look at them and go, you know, really? And and they know that they know you're an intuitive, and yet they're telling you something that you know isn't true, and they don't understand that you'll understand that it's not.
That's pretty...
It's trippy. It's like, what? So... I'm also learning to just, and I'm not being blunt with people, I'll just go, oh, you know, I'm not really understanding what you're saying, so maybe we should go away and rethink it, and we'll talk later.
You have more courage than I do, because I generally have no desire to go away, go somewhere and talk about it later. I don't want to talk about it at all.
I won't. That's just the point. I won't.
Unless, of course, you're interested in taking classes from me and there is something, or you want some instruction, or even if you just simply want, hey, you know, can you turn me on to something I could read, or da-da-da-da-da, this is what I'm interested in, how do you think I should, I don't have a problem with that. I love doing that part. But no, I don't want to have a conversation.
No,
I don't want
I
to
don't.
Go any deeper.
And what happens in that is these people are acting on the spur of the moment.
Totally.
And when they walk away from it, they'll completely forget it. And they won't come back to me. I've never had a person. And maybe when I say, let's rethink this, when I say that, they might actually get the idea that they've stepped on toes or they've moved, you know, in a wrong direction, they never bring it up again. So I don't have to have that conversation. It's just a polite way
right.
in the room of saying, you know, I just don't think we need to have this conversation.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Hey, out there, you're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show. We come to you every other Tuesday afternoon. Ellen Doreen lives in Florida and has a wonderful business called Illuminations. You can find her on the internet. I live in California. My business is called Insights, and you can find me on the World Wide Web also. You can also go to the BBS radio station profile, and you can see our pictures and read a little bit about us. We'd love to hear from you. What are your resistances? Love to hear if you have any comments on today's show, the topics that were in a way kind of, you know, that's not unusual for us. Take a word like resistance and it starts going all over the place. And that's wonderful and exciting. It's an exploration. It's the way I like it. You can call us toll free. This is a toll free number. It's not going to cost you anything. 888-627-6008 with a comment, question, some insight and illumination of your own. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's 888-627-6008. You're listening to The Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. Yeah, I the resistance thing, I guess, you know, we all have, it's interesting to start exploring this topic. And when you asked me, what are you resisting this year? And there was really not anything coming up that was what I felt was genuine. But of course, now as we're starting to dive a little deeper, go out probably a little deeper towards the deep end of the pool, It seems like maybe there's a little more there than first meets the eye.
It's a real interesting topic of conversation, because I think we've covered a lot of it when you think we just talked about
right.
Resistance is a power. It's your own power. It's a power that's foisted on you by somebody else. Resistance is also an ability to grow. It's a resistance to some of the newfangled technology and weasel clauses and things that are being thrown at us. And it's not that we're resistant to the change. We're resistant to the time that it's going to take us to delve through this information and to make changes. And there's always that you go to make a change and then the door is shut in your face. So the resistances are there. I think I want to use resistance as a form of shielding and protecting.
Ooh, that's very good too. Another way to use the power of resistance.
Because my resistance to call people on their stuff, let's put it that way. My resistance to that is really sort of harmful to me, because it doesn't serve me.
Mm.
And I guess you could take it into, I've always wanted, you know, an even keel. You don't want to ruffle people's feathers. You don't want to, you know, cause disharmony. So, oh, well, you go with the flow. Yeah, you go with the flow as long as it's not drowning you, you know. But when it starts piling up, then you're in a place that you have to stand up and say, enough already, folks. Let's get this on down the road.
Wow, that's really powerfully put. And I love what you said. I got to go back because it caught my attention. The weasel claws.
Yes.
Boy, that is just, I'm going to be using that. That now, see, that there's a kind of a reframing that will help me. Now it's not going to be so much of a chore. This is, you know, also another really good real life kind of example of how to change what is a chore and to make it a little lighter and to make it a little easier. Because now, as I'm reading those contracts, I'll be looking for weasel clauses.
Oh my God. And they're endless. They're absolutely endless.
I love that. I just think that's going to become a famous.
I was reading a contract the other day for something. I know. I found this wonderful webpage so that I could lift images, because I'm still working with the book Rainbow Zen and trying to put some what they call hard page breaks in with cartoon characters or, you know, illustrations. And I found this lovely place where I can get images and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, at the end of the webpage, there is this contract with language I haven't even heard of, never mind understood. And I'm sitting there going, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I absolutely went through the whole thing. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, I don't even know what to say about this. And then, so I let it go. And, you know, sometimes letting things go, which is also my resistance. I want things done now.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
The idea of letting something sit and stew on the back burner, we're back to the back burner and stewing, that I let it go overnight. And when I got on the internet the next day, there was this lovely email, and it said, hi, my name is Jason. I'm your personal account manager, and my role is to ensure that you are well taken care of when you are sourcing content for your creative projects. If you need to call me, I'm here. He gave me his cell phone number, his toll-free number, his email, his live chat 24 hours a day, and I'm going, they know you can't read their weasel clauses. God love him for sending me the email.
That's great.
You bet I'm going to be on the phone. But I thought, they know you can't understand this.
That's hilarious.
It is. It's absolutely hilarious. And
most people.
Go ahead.
Most people don't read them.
Oh, I know. They just click yes and go ahead. And I'm thinking, boy, you don't even know what you're signing here, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like all those little things. I have a friend who, when I first, when I think I bought my first computer, she was, she came with me to help me pick it out. And then she also came and helped me, hook it up, turn it on, showed me where to go. And she got to this little box and, it says you can't go on until you click accept. I read the terms, I accept. And I went, no, you can't click that. I don't know what I'm accepting.
That's right.
She said, you're the only person that reads that stuff. And I said, well, I don't care.
I was in an attorney's office some years back, and it was about property. And he handed me some forms to fill out, and I sat and wrote them. And pretty soon he's twitching in his feet, swinging his pen back and forth and kind of, antsy and moving paperclip. And I said, is there a problem? And he goes, we need to move on, And I said, okay, well, then I'll take these home with me and bring them back. And he was stunned. He was stunned because nobody ever reads it. They just sign them and hand it back and you go on to the next thing.
Right.
I'm not signing something that I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just, and in this day and age, they don't expect you to read it. They expect you to click and move on. And that's why there is still these ridiculous weasel clauses everywhere. Because you're giving your soul away,
Right.
You have absolute control and power over to the person because you need their service. And I'm not sure I need services at that, to be honest.
Some things we do, but... thank goodness there's no weasel clauses at the, I was going to say thank goodness there's no weasel clauses at the grocery store, but that's not true either.
It isn't. Look at your coupon.
I know.
It looks like your coupon says, you get a dollar off this item. And then when you read the small print, it's a dollar off this item if you buy two over here or something else.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, they're everywhere.
And everybody learns that one the hard way because everybody's used to – I did. I've been using coupons, all my life. So the first time that happened to me, I went, what? Now I have to read them all.
Right. And in a world of boom, 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 instant communication, instant pictures, instant everything, there's no time to read.
True.
Which I think is very sad. And I have to tell you, when I said time to read, I have a lovely lady helping me with Rainbow Zen to upload it so that people can download it. Do you love that language?
Yeah.
And she is a published author, and she is helping me to work with Rainbow Zen. And she said to me, I've made a few revisions of paragraphs that need to be put in the right place or, put in the, because you had some very long sentences. Now, interestingly enough, I had this edited by you 3 or 4 times and I know your editing skills, and I paid an editor about 6 years ago to edit it for me. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady said to me, you may accept or reject those things that I did. I have changed some of the language because sadly even 10 and 12 year olds will not understand some of the words you used. And I didn't really, I said, okay, take a deep breath, Ellen, talk about resistance. that's like pulling my teeth out without Novocaine. This is my baby.
Right.
So I only got to the first paragraph and my mouth fell open because the language that she changed is not what I said. I used the word, I have to check, daughter Angel, work steadily around their kitchen, in their cozy country kitchen. And she changed it to Captain Jack and his daughter Angel worked hard all day long in their kitchen.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And I went, and you talk about resistance. You want a resistance. It brought everyone in my flags up. I thought that isn't even that doesn't even convey what it meant.
Right.
And so now I'm kind of nibbling at that and taking little digestive steps. And I might truly say thank you very much for the editing, but I'm not going to change the words because that isn't what it meant.
Yeah, it isn't. And I think that's one of the things that makes about the creative process, because even though that seems like a simple thing, you can work hard but not steadily. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same implication.
Right. It's not the same word.
Right.
And so that's really interesting because you know that I'm a channel. You're a channel too, but I've actually written things by channeling.
Yes.
And Mark is a fabulous editor. He's very, very good at it. And that's why I'm saying to you, I'm having a lot of issue with this because so many people have edited this that are
right.
Very, very good, and that I paid someone to do it. So anyway, when I did a channeled work for Mark's daughter, Tessa, for her 18th birthday, and I zip it away, I channeled it all out, wrote it up, and said, okay, you know, why don't you read this and help me put it together, and we'll give it to her for a gift for her birthday. And about an hour later, he came back to me and he said, I don't even know where to begin with this. He said, this is one long run. And I looked at him and I said, no, it's not. And he goes, yeah, it is. And I got it. Mel, I got it. In the ethers, there's no past, present, future.
Right. That makes sense.
Everything is now. And so he was trying to edit it in a world that's dimensional.
Right.
And so it took us, and it was amazing, it took us 2 days. And he'd read the sentence to me and say, if I do this, if I put a period here, a comma there, whatever, semicolon, it will mean this. And I'd look at him and go, no, that isn't what Spirit meant when they said that. And then I'd have to tell him what the meaning behind the word was or the sentence. And then we'd have to figure out how to punctuate it.
Wow. But that makes sense.
It was absolutely astonishing. And so I also realized that some of what Rainbow's End is a gift from Spirit.
Right. Oh,
yes, I wrote it, but there's a gift in there, and part of the gift is the musical poetry. That's the way the words flow together,
mm-hmm.
and I can't disturb that. So there's more to this than just my saying, those are the words I meant.
And so that sort of comes full circle back to what you said. The resistance that you're dealing with is to stand up.
Yes.
And say no.
It's very hard because I get very frightened. And you know, people who are listening, this is kind of a good thing for them to understand. Just because we're intuitives and because we understand things doesn't make us not afraid every now and then, not make us completely positive or sure about our outcome. We can be for somebody else, but seeing for ourselves is so completely different. And I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to make people feel bad. This woman took time out of her very busy schedule to do what she did for me as a gift. So I don't want to go, gee, thanks, no.
Right.
But there's this part of me this year that is just saying enough already. You know, yes, that was very sweet of you. But no, thank you. And it's very hard.
I think that is so, so cogent, is that it's what you just said. It's really hard to resist giving in when someone in a position like she is, who is successful, who is an authority, offers you a gift, and you don't, you know, you choose not to accept part of it.
Right. And you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings and make them go away.
Right.
And as I was saying, with people that you're working with on projects and things that you need to get done and accomplished to move yourself forward, you get halfway through a project, you don't want to get mad and make the person upset and make them go away, and then you have to start the whole thing over. But I think that that gentleman today really hit it. I've done it for so long and to so many people, and for, in the beginning, good reason, that I've carried it on too far. And so I have to re-examine that. My resistance is to the re-examine, and also the resistance to still standing up and being heard. But because I don't want to be a crabby old woman. But I'm getting to the, and I, so then we have to go to what's assertive, what's aggressive, what I really need to do is just to be assertive, and stand up and say this is what's good for me,
right?
And this is what I need from you. And this is as far as that's going to go. And it is still hard. I think every woman in the world would say, trying to find those fine lines where you don't. Well, I can't say every woman in the world, but a lot of women who've been trained to acquiesce.
Right.
And not rock the boat. It's very hard to find your feet and stand up and say no.
Well, the feminine is the receptive.
Exactly.
You know, and it is the nurturer that is part of that it's part of being feminine in that way. You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio this fine Tuesday afternoon, getting to be evening in Florida. We're nearing the end of the hour, but we still have a little bit of time. If someone out there has a burning question, you can call in toll free at 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. I really got a lot out of today in terms of looking at resistance is power. That was, it's again, you know, one of those, what you said earlier, way at the beginning of the show, it was an intuitive sort of thing that popped up, you know, because I didn't go hunting for it. But I was simmering it.
Yes, simmering, stewing on the back burner.
Yeah, it was sitting on the back burner. We're gonna be talking about resistance. So what about that? So it was stewing there, and it's been very, very helpful in so many ways. I also really totally get off on the weasel claws thing. I gotta talk.
And they're everywhere. Boy, are they everywhere!
And I, you know, I don't have. And there's things that I don't have resistance to. And part of, and again, I think part of it is related to age and experience. You said that about being a crabby old woman, you know, I don't mind. There are times when presenting myself as a crabby old woman is the way I get attention.
Yeah, well, there is that.
It's not, but I'm not, I mean, it is, the operative word is, I am presenting. I'm very in charge of what I'm doing.
Yes.
It's like being in charge of your anger.
Right, and I think that's what I was saying. You
yes.
know, my resistance yes. is that I don't want to be a crabby old woman. On the other hand,
yes.
there is a difference between assertive and aggressive, and I know that I can find the fine line, so...
Yes, and I knew exactly what you meant. We don't want to fall into that place where because there's a difference between presenting yourself and being that way,
right?
And we don't, it's the difference between being in control of your anger and not, you know, and we all have those periods where we're not, and that's just the reality,
yep.
you know. But I like, I really, really appreciate your story so much about your encounter today. And that is very, what an absolutely wonderful exchange to have. And,
yeah.
and reinforcement, you know, that gift from the universe shows right up there.
You bet. It's just wonderful.
This is the Mel and Ellen Show. We come to you every other Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're getting ready to sign off. Mel and Ellen show, I was going to say. Ellen, thank you so much. It's always a delight, my dear.
Thank you. It was wonderful. And I'm going to leave you with this. I found the most adorable book this week, and it's called Before You Leap, A Frog's Eye View of Life's Greatest Lessons by Kermit the Frog.
Oh.
And I love it. And it says, life is like a movie. Write your own ending.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was great. Bye now.
Bye.